Today we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, and I would love for you guys to turn there. We've got this first slide of kind of these surface waters. And everybody can see on the surface when you're on the ocean or something, but then the depth that is there can hold all sorts of stuff, stuff that people have never seen even, right? And we can see what each other, what our actions are. We can see the surface, what's on somebody's face, what they do. But a lot of times we don't even know our own motives, right? We don't even know our own really, like, why am I doing what I'm doing? And we've probably all had some frustration over not being the person that we wanted to be or hurting somebody that we cared about. Today, we're getting into Luke. Jesus is going to be confronting somebody about their inside motives. And even though they're doing something good, they're doing it for the wrong reason. But the great thing is, if you show up to Jesus and you're willing to listen, like, you can show up with problems, right? Like, this person shows up with problems, but they show up and listen to Jesus. And so, before we get to this passage, I do want to quickly give us a little background, a commentary I've been reading, give you kind of a scholarly prep for this passage we're going to read. So this next slide here has got Joel's commentary. Our series is At the Table. We're looking through the Gospel of Luke through this lens of how did Jesus handle meals with people. Because at meals, a lot in Luke, Jesus brings the kingdom of heaven. He brings what it's like to have new life with God. And he shows it to people at these different table moments. And so we're going to look at kind of a hosting moment today in Luke chapter 10. So here's some real quick prep. I want us to get ready to read this whole passage without commentary from me. So I want to give you, kind of front load you with some ideas in case you're not familiar with it. So this commentary, a guy named Joel wrote, so go back to the slide that says like context. So very next slide after At the Table, slide number 3. It's got like a book that's maroonish. There we go. So thank you, Hope. So the context of this story, it's coming right on the heels of the Good Samaritan. And if you don't know that story, there's an expert in the Bible or in the law in the Old Testament. And he says to Jesus, they're talking about loving your neighbor. And he's trying to self-justify just like we do a lot of times. And he's like, but who's my neighbor, right? I can be kind as long as it's only to a certain set of people, right? Like, maybe I can accomplish that. And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan, a guy who was judged by the Jews of that day, but he's actually the hero of that story. And he sees a stranger who's in desperate need, and he stops what he's doing and goes the extra mile to help this guy and to take care of him, right? And so he does this great act of service, and basically Jesus' point with that story is like, go do the same thing. Like, treat other people the same way the Good Samaritan treated them. So there's this context of service, and Jesus lifting up service is great. A couple things are going to happen in the story today. One is we're going to have a lady sitting at Jesus' feet, and in Acts 22, when Paul's talking about being a disciple, he talks specifically about sitting at someone's feet. Like, that was a term in the ancient world about being a disciple or a follower of somebody, is you sat at their feet, you listened to them, and then you did the stuff that they taught. And so the woman that's sitting at the feet for Jesus here in this story, she's being a disciple. Like, there's that description there of, like, this is a lady who is a disciple. She's sitting at Jesus' feet, is the image that we're given. And that's lifted up. Also, something that gets lifted up later in Luke and all through Luke, but specifically in Luke 22, Jesus is talking with his disciples about service. And he says, like, I, your Lord and teacher, like, came as a servant. You guys should be a servant too. So even though Jesus is going to confront somebody that's serving, kind of the context in the book is that service is good. That's what people who follow Jesus should do. We should serve other people. We should take care of other people. Okay, so that's kind of our context for this story. We heard my summary of Joel, the scholar's view of the passage. But better than Joel, like, we have access through Jesus to the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us that if we ask our good Father in heaven for the Holy Spirit, he'll give them to us. And so before we read the Bible, it's good to read scholars. It's good to have an idea of what's going on. But the ultimate one we want to appeal to is, like, Holy Spirit, will you come and teach me about Jesus, bring Jesus to me? So if you'll bow your heads, let's pray again. Jesus, we want to claim the promise you told us God, we want to claim the promise that Jesus told us that you would give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And so I'm asking for me, and each one of us, we're asking for you to give us the Holy Spirit so we can encounter Jesus and know Jesus and follow Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so here's our passage. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. It's going to be here on the screen as well. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, Jesus came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Jesus. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what Jesus said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So our passage, there's a lot that we could talk about in this passage, right? I'm going to point out a few basics here. One, what's the better thing that Mary chose? The one thing that she needs to be worried about? Mary has let go of all these other responsibilities, and she's making sure she's at Jesus' feet listening to him. She's being a disciple. Martha opens up her house, like welcomes Jesus. That's a good action, right? Like opening up your home and saying, "Jesus and all your disciples, come, I'm going to make you guys food." I mean, it's good service that she's doing, right? But here's what Jesus says to her, a little quote here about her intentions, this next slide. Jesus describes her as worried and upset about many things. So even though she's doing great actions on the outside, her inside motivation is full of worry and full of being upset, distracted, or dissipated. Now, the reason I put this up here in big letters for us is when I think about myself and us in this room, if Jesus were with you all this last week, would he have said, Jake, you are worried and upset about many things, right? Even when I'm doing the right thing, what's going on inside of me? Jesus cares about what we do. But even if we're doing good stuff for the wrong reasons, it's not really where he wants us, right? Now, the amazing thing about this is Jesus doesn't just like throw her out or say terrible stuff to her or get rid of her, right? He looks at her and corrects her. But in this, like, he knows her name. He's talking to her. He's showing her a better way, right? And we should all be thankful for that, right? Like, at our best, a lot of us are like Martha, right? We're doing the right thing, just not totally for the right reason. I mean, that's like my good days, right? Like, at least we're not doing the wrong thing for the wrong reason, right? Jesus, if you'll listen to him, if you'll be in his presence, if you'll do the best that you know, he'll work on you, right? Like, there's hope in this passage. Like, you don't have to be totally perfect. If you get close to Jesus, he'll keep working on you, right? So he's working on Mary, and what I want to talk to us about today he's working on Martha, is we can't fix ourselves, right? Like, some of us can take a few good actions, right? But even then, there's fear or pride or anxiety driving some of that, right? And none of us can totally snuff out all the fear and pride and selfishness inside of our hearts. So I'm coming to us today to say, like, let's look at Jesus and how Jesus is helping Martha. Because we're all in that boat where it's like, we need some help doing the right thing for the right reason. Okay? So I'm going to take us back to a couple thoughts from Joel, that commentary guy. So here's this first one, talking about this passage. He says, "The nature of hospitality for which Jesus seeks is realized in attending to one's guest. So like focusing on somebody, taking care of them, that's being a good host. He says, "Yet Martha's speech is centered on me talk." And he mentions it three times. So when Martha talks to Jesus, interrupts whatever teaching he's doing, She talks about, don't you care about me? And hasn't helped me. Right? She says herself three times in a really short space. Even when we're doing the right thing, if somebody was recording this language going on in our minds, a lot of times it's still pretty me-focused, right? So even though she's being hospitable in her heart, she's not focused on the other people in the room. Take it a step further. His very next sentence says, though she refers to Jesus as Lord, she is concerned to engage his assistance in her plans, not to learn from him his. Now this is, Joel probably is a doctor or something, you know, like he doesn't talk the way we would talk. But what he's saying is that Martha calls Jesus Lord, but what she really wants is Jesus on her side to get her plans done. Does anybody act that way in your household? Does anybody act that way at the Maple House or Good Foundation or wherever you call home, right? Where you might give lip service to Jesus, you might sing pretty songs to Jesus, but really you want Jesus to be your ally to get what you want. And you're not so worried about his plans. And when you talk to him, it's not bad to ask Jesus for stuff, but when you talk to him, is there any listening to, like, Jesus, what do you want? Is there any concern to pay attention to Jesus and what he's doing? Right? Our motivations are tricky. So I'm going to talk about what I know, which is a bunch of failure at trying to do the right thing, right? Because it's not like we're just going to walk out of here and get it all right. It's not like I've unlocked the secret for you and like it's just clicked. So I want to talk to you about a scene that happens a bunch in my household. I don't have a slide for this. So we can just, oh, actually I do. So the pick two thing, you can put that up on screen. So if you got, I've got some props to help us out with this one. So I've got a few things to talk about. One of them is my inside condition. I didn't know how to represent that physically, but I like Frisbee. So this is my inside condition, we're going to say. And I can do this pretty effortlessly if this is the only, if I'm talking and I can just like flip the Frisbee around and it's pretty peaceful and happy, right? It could be kind, right? I've got two hands, right? So I've also got a couple of kids. This is Samuel's Koi. These are kind of older school pictures of them. And you can't hardly see them. But I can hold, like I can hang out with my kids and I can still have a decent inside condition, right? I could still be happy and on a good day be patient, right? Here's another thing that I can do with these two hands. If the kids, even before I had kids, I got into cooking a little bit. I'm not a great cook, but I can make stir fry that I like at least. And here's the thing, Tracy, about stir fry and me is when I'm making stir fry, if I'm in the house all by myself, the whole kitchen's going to be really messy when I'm done. There might be kind of a smoke in the kitchen, but I set off a fire alarm at an apartment I lived in once. But anyways, but I can be happy, I can be singing, and I can make what I would say is good stir fry, right? But really, like, I'm kind of pushing the limits at like cooking and not just getting stressed out and angry as I'm trying to cook three things at once, which is a lot for me. Here's what I can't do, I've discovered as a dad. I can't hold my kids and make stir fry. Here's what happens. Like, my inside condition is just might as well be frying my inside condition, right? Like, with kids underfoot and stuff on and three things on the stove, it just doesn't ever go well. Either the stir fry turns out bad, that's the best possibility, is the stir fry turns out bad. What typically happens is the parenting turns out bad, right? I'm impatient, I'm grumpy, I say something that later, when I finally listen to Jesus at the end of the day, Jesus is not happy with me, Like, sometimes as a parent, you can win when it's just eight-year-olds around you, right? But at the end of the day, when you have to talk to Jesus, he's not always happy that you won, So the reality is I have to face my own limits when it comes to dinner time. If Chrissy's not around, Chrissy's my wife. If Chrissy's not around, it's just me and dinner. Like, we don't have stir fry. It's just me and the kids, right? It's just I've realized, like, if I want to be a good dad, I can't. I'm just not equipped to cook a complicated meal. So I have to make the choice on the front end that it's just me and the kids and Jesus tonight, and Jesus has given me enough to be a patient dad and to make hot dogs, right? Like, not to make stir fry. And that sounds super simple and even like petty maybe. Here's the deeper truth we're getting at, is some of us, our non-negotiables aren't be loving to Jesus and loving to other people. But when you make those your non-negotiables, some other stuff typically has to slide. Like, you can't be excellent in all the things and live up to your expectations and your fears of what other people might want and be a patient dad or whatever God has called you to do this afternoon. Like, it's just, if you're trying to do right, you'll learn your limits. And what you realize is, like, Jesus does, you know, Paul talks about to the church in Corinthians, like, Jesus won't let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. Like, he'll provide a way out. I mean, hot dogs in the fridge are a way out, right? I mean, like, it's like, you're called to be patient. You're not necessarily called to make stir fry tonight, right? So I know this is real simple, but do you see what Martha got caught up in? Something we can really easily get caught up in. Of, this is important, because it's important, I need to do it excellent. And as long as this thing is done excellent, it doesn't matter what my inside condition is like. The non-negotiable is that I succeed at my job, or at looking good, or at being respected by everybody, or whatever your non-negotiable is. And when your non-negotiable isn't please Jesus, a lot of times you can get outside of your capabilities. And Jesus isn't there to make up the difference, right? So what do we do? I've got a pretty simple challenge for us. Here's our bringing it to the table. Every week in this series, we're trying to do something, typically around a table, to put this into practice. Here's my bringing it to the table. It's literally an easy one. This next slide. Simplify a meal to make room for Jesus. Now, some of us, maybe you're really comfortable at being a bad host and you don't take care of people. Maybe this lesson isn't as much for you, you know. But if you struggle being a Martha, imagine if you thought through your meal before you had it with, like, how's there going to be room for Jesus? So what would that maybe look like? Instead of cooking for 45 minutes or 3 hours or 15 minutes, what if you were like, I'm going to spend 5 minutes praying that everything that comes out of my mouth at this meal makes Jesus happy. Just 5 minutes, right? And then I'm going to take that 5 minutes out of my cooking time, and we're going to have a meal like that. Or if you're like me and your dad, and you're like, man, my patience is not always up for the twins, it's pretty, as their parent, like, I've been around them enough, like, I can anticipate the stuff that's going to happen at dinner. I know Sequoia's going to want a straw. I know some of the stuff is going to happen that, like, I could, if I would just sit down for 5 minutes ahead of time and think, like, what's going to happen that's going to make it hard for me to be patient, I could knock at least 50% of the stuff that's going to come up off if I would just sit down and think about, I want to be loving at this meal. So how do I make it easier on myself to be loving at this meal? Like, what can I do to prep? All we've done there is like 10 minutes. And unless you're already making like peanut butter and jelly or something, like, most of the time when you're making a meal, like, you could cut 10 minutes out of your time. And I'm giving you permission to make hot dogs or whatever, right? To show up with an excellent inside condition, even if the food is not the best thing you've ever made. Now, there'll be other times where it's good to be extravagant. I'm not saying we should never be extravagant with the people we host. But what I am saying is, like, if you don't have it down of being Christ-like at the table, don't worry about getting the food excellent, right? Like, Jesus, when he turns water to wine, he brings the best. I think there's like a higher level where Jesus will show you to bring the best. But I think bringing, like, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, like, being that sort of person at the table is more the ground level. Like, let's not put too much on the task list, right? Let's get good at being loving before we try to become like a 5-star chef or something, right? So simplify a meal, make room for Jesus. So the point is, And this could even be really simple, right? Like maybe you're like, I don't cook at all. How am I even supposed to apply this? Instead of going to the new Chipotle drive-thru on 291, like, oh, I'm in such a hurry. I better go get Chipotle for all of us. Like, what if the meal was something really simple you already have at your house? And you're like, instead of driving for 15 minutes there and back, I'm going to spend 15 minutes getting ready to be loving at this interaction, right? Could be that simple, right? You change something to make room for Jesus. You guys have got it, I think. I'm going to give you a couple more tips as we're going. This is just a start. I've got a little slide there. This is just getting started. This is not where we end. I'm not telling you to always serve peanut butter and jelly for the rest of your life, right? Like Chrissy can make a complicated meal and be kind to the kids, right? You're like, I might get there someday, you know, like we all are wherever we're at. But the idea is start where you're at with the idea that loving Jesus and loving other people, that's the non-negotiable. I got to try for that. And then the other stuff could be added if I've got that down, right? If you want to go a little deeper with this, if you're like, Jake, this was pretty basic for me, I'm ready for more. I've got these little dig deeper things on the side of the stage. We're doing that in this series. If we could go actually to just the kids slide, the very next one there. It's got that little digger symbol. So this is my kids when they're much younger. This is us cooking with them. My dig deeper is for you to prepare food with children. And that's more complicated than what I was already sharing, right? Like it's a lot more complicated. There's a lot to learn from kids. If you're in the room today and you're like, I don't think I could learn anything from hanging out with kids for 45 minutes and then talking to Jesus about it, like, you're in bad shape. I'm just going to tell you, like, that's the most prideful attitude I could imagine. Like, if you will hang out with kids and then reflect with Jesus, I mean, I can't imagine that you don't have something to learn, right? So there's some tips there that I've learned from some failures and stuff of, like, how to cook well with kids. That's Samuel and I making yeast bread where his fingers are all dirty and stuff. I mean, I've learned some stuff through failure that's on those little sheets if you want them. There'll be a QR code at the very end. Here's a last idea, something about the kids. My family and I and a bunch of our relatives got to go to Chicago this last week, and we were at a little coffee shop standing outside, and my kids start hanging out with this random passerby that has a golden retriever or a lab or something that kind of looked like this dog. This is a really happy dog. And that's, yeah, everybody, I do, like, people will love this picture, right? All the pictures. So here's what I'll tell you. My kids are talking to a total stranger, really happy. The dog is happy. I don't even pay attention to the stranger until the kids get involved with them. And then the first thing I would have noticed wasn't the sweet dog. I would have noticed he has this giant Chargers shirt on. And since I was like a kid and Philip Rivers was like screaming at umps and like whining all the time, like I've kind of had a resentment against the Chargers that like I just don't like the Chargers at all. And so honestly, if I seen a guy in Chicago with a ton of Chargers gear on, like I wouldn't have interacted with him at all. But because of my kids and they're happy and the dog's happy and he's happy, he's like super sweet. And the kids are kind of like, there's multiple kids there, nephews and stuff too. And the guy was super patient and super friendly. And the kids kind of led me into that interaction of like, this is a kind person. And it was this happy interaction. And it's because the kids did not have the resentments that I'm lugging around. I don't even know all the resentments I'm lugging around, right? So in your life, right now, like Jesus has a positive, like happy interaction for you this week, if you'll drop some of the junk you're carrying around. And so kids can kind of lead the way if you'll let them, but if you'll go to Jesus, like Jesus will show you how to show up to a meal in a way that brings happiness, right? In a way that brings joy, and to just keep going with him, right? Like there's good stuff when we drop our anxieties and our fears and our pride and we sit with Jesus, right? I want to pray a blessing over us to close out if you guys will bow your heads. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.